Hello and welcome to the Play Movies Watch Games Pitchcast. If you don't know what the show is by now, this is the show where each week we try our very, very best to come up with the perfect pitch for either a movie as a video game or video game as a movie. We think all week long about it, Ben, don't we? We don't just try and jot our notes down in 2 hours and come up with a perfect pitch then. This week's pitch is Terminator. As a video game, obviously there has been a lot, but we're going to try and pitch the perfect Terminator video game. As always, I'm your host, Lewis. That's me. That's my name. I'm joined by my co-host Ben. How are we doing today, Ben?
I'm great. I'm awesome. We've had lovely weather recently. It's put me in a good mood.
Very nice. Been sorting my garden out. I've got green fingers. I hate it. I absolutely hate gardening. But yeah, I just wanted to jump on the top here and just apologise if there was any audio issues last week, and just try and bear with us. Hopefully there won't be any this week. We are not certain though, because my computer keeps crashing on me, so that's great. But I've done a little bit of an antivirus and stuff, so hopefully it'll be alright by now. But yeah, Ben, what have you been up to?
So this week, I haven't written them down, sorry. This week I have watched a few films. I have written them down somewhere else.
Let me just
Yeah, I haven't actually sat down and just watched the film for quite a while. But this week I watched Coraline, which is my favourite animated movie.
Here he goes. Alright.
I love it.
Settling, kids. Here we go.
Once upon a time in 2009, this film came out called Coraline. Making it rhyme as well.
Yeah.
I just think it's brilliant. Like, the book as well, it's fantastic. But the film...
Tim Burton aesthetic as well is really good, isn't it?
Yeah, produced by, is it Leica, who do, like, the stop-motion animation.
Right.
It also brought out Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh,
and a couple
great
other films.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's about a girl called Coraline. And it's kind of this... interdimension reality bending film, and it's great. It's a little bit. It's got like horror elements.
Oh,
it's got
big time
mystery elements. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it is one of them that I have never. I don't think I've ever got through a whole sitting of it, and I do think because you keep banging on about it, Ben, that we do need to. I do need to sit down and watch it properly. I think Corpse Bride is the same one as well for me. Now, I do sort of know the story of Corpse Bride, and I feel like I've seen that more. But I think what we should do is watch the Tim Burton sort of stop motion films, and then maybe we can pitch them as a video game one week. That'd be good. But yeah, I definitely need to sit down and watch Coraline properly, seeing as you keep banging on about it. But Kubo and Two Strings, it's great.
It came out in one of the greatest year for animated films as well. Same year as Up came out, 2009.
Probably in Madagascar.
The other ones have escaped me. But
House of Training
some, like,
Dragon,
big
something
films.
Like that. Yeah. No, definitely. What else, Ben? Did you watch another movie?
I also watched the recent Netflix edition of Shrek the Musical. So I think it was filmed like 2014 performance of it or something.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to see it because I think just seeing like the production pictures of the actor playing Farquaad on his knees, I think that's genius. I think it's genius. Yeah. So I've always wanted to sort of watch it. It's, first of all, the guy playing Shrek, the voice isn't, it's not Shrek's voice, which really... irked me watching the entire time. Because everyone else is so good, like the guy playing Pinocchio, it's pretty much spot on. So Shrek's voice took me out of it a little bit. Same with Donkey, I guess, but that's more because like Eddie Murphy's voice is so prolific. But yeah, as a musical, I think it's a good adaptation. I'd say I prefer the films. A couple of the songs are a bit like, we haven't had a song for a while, so let's do a song.
I mean, I did watch it live when it came to the Marlow in Canterbury, and I don't really remember it. I took Tabitha, our sister, and she must have been three and a half.
Hmm.
And she was absolutely mortified by the dragon, which, to be fair, looked amazing. You know, it all moved really fluently and it was really cool. But from what I can remember, it was just a lot of songs back to back, you know.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine, you know. It's a few, you know, theatre things that I've seen in London and stuff. Obviously, The Lion King, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if you remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in the musical. I could barely remember it myself, but we went to London 1 year to watch that. We Will Rock You is probably one of my favourites, just favourite live shows I've ever seen. It's just amazing. And Stomp is brilliant as well. So I've seen a few live things and I want to see more because it is a proper day out. You know, it's not just,
yeah,
you know, when you go to the cinema, it's an evening thing, right? You might get dinner before, but going to London, going to the theatre, it's a full day, you know. I really, really enjoy it. But yeah, Shrek's all right. Yeah, I didn't know it was on Netflix, but what do you think of it, Ben? Like, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I think it's worth a watch. It's no Hamilton.
I need to watch that. I do definitely need to get on that. I'm very late to that because that came out this time last year on Disney Plus, didn't it? I definitely need to watch that. I've watched a film this week, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've watched two actually, but I really want to talk about Palm Springs. Right. You heard about this? Yep. Andy Samberg.
I haven't got round to it, but I've seen it advertised.
So it's on
every
Amazon...
time I load my TV up.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime Instant Video. You know, you don't have to pay for it. It is on there. Really, really good. I feel like I haven't sort of sat down and watched a new movie. Well, I say this. I watched Godzilla vs. Kong. I've watched Snyder Cut. But I haven't just watched something just new but under the radar in a while. And this was just brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it. I think it came out like late 2019. Or early 2020, but it only sort of came out in the States and the UK never got a release date for it or something. Andy Samberg's brilliant in it. J.K. Simmons is really good in it. And then I recently watched the J.K. Simmons episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's quite interesting to see them, you know, sort of bantering about in that and then obviously realise that that was quite a good relationship and that's why they, you know, moved into the film. Or it might have been vice versa, I'm not sure. But it's just, it's good comedy. It's got like some good sort of mystery element to it. And it's just all round good film, you know. It's sort of feel good, plays with your emotions type thing. It is quite comedic. I was laughing out loud for some of it. But I just wanted a bit more. I just wanted to see a little bit more what happened. I mean, like, so if you didn't know, the setting is like a Groundhog Day setting. And that's not really a spoiler because it goes straight into it literally within 10 minutes of the film. But I just wanted to see a little bit more of it. It does show, you know, them having a good time and stuff like that. So it's like, what if Groundhog Day wasn't so dark and gloomy? You know, it's that sort of film. It's really good. Really, really enjoyed it. I would say film of the year so far. Even better than Justice League and Kong versus Godzilla, I would say. For me, personally. I also got round to watching Christopher Robin this week. And you've seen this, haven't you, Ben?
Yep.
It's all right. It's nothing sort of like, you know, it isn't going to be anyone I know's favourite film of all time. But I just really liked Ewan McGregor going around what I think is 1930s London, because there is the war, but I think that's World War One. It never outright says it. But from looking at the cars and from looking at the technology, like no one's got TV or anything like that. I just liked him sort of going around 1930s London, you know, the trains and the buses and the way of life. And I really enjoyed the setting, probably more than most of the film. I mean, it was some funny bits where, you know, Pooh and Tigger and stuff are talking, and then everyone in the street is just like absolutely confused by it. That's quite interesting, but I didn't really pay attention. I was watching half of it on my phone, to be honest, and I shouldn't have, but it was fine. Like, there's nothing sort of, you know, exciting, like new or anything like that. It was just, it was a bit like, is it Paddington? But, you know, obviously set back in the 1930s. So, I just enjoyed that sort of 1930s London aesthetic, seeing all the offices and the houses, and, you know, and seeing the parks actually being used. Like, you go to London nowadays and you walk through these sort of, you know, blocks of massive townhouses, you know, they're sort of four stories tall. They're all, you know, built around these sort of square parks, and you just don't see anyone in them. Sort of run down little green areas, but to actually see them fully like being used and stuff, it's quite nice. I quite enjoyed that. And also the roads weren't paved in tarmac and stuff like that, so that was quite interesting. I just think I enjoyed that more than the actual film.
I watched it closer to its release, and I would say, like, now, like, I think I only watched it once, but now all I kind of remember from it is the iconic moment where Pooh turns up behind the bench when he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor running around with a briefcase. That's kind of all I remember. But I do remember when I watched it, I felt like it was like set in the Mary Poppins universe.
Because Mary Poppins Returns came out the same year, I think. I think they both came out in 2018, which is what I want to watch also as well. But yeah, no, like I said, I did really enjoy it. Ewan McGregor with an English accent, he's quite good in it. He's quite funny, you know, just him absolutely losing his mind because his, you know, bear turns up when he's got a big office conferencey thing coming up on Monday. You know, there's a sort of story there that he... you know, focuses more on work, and it's been done a million times, and it, you know, deadbeat dad focuses more on work than he does with his family. The only thing that confused me was, so out, you know, it's got all the typical Winnie the Pooh characters in it, and Pooh, Piglet, Roo, Tigger, I think that's all of them, they're all teddies. Yeah, they're all, you can see they're fuzzy, you can see the texture on them, but the owl and the rabbit are real, I think. So I just found that a bit weird. I mean, why not make them teddies too? I don't know, but meant to, you know, believe that Christopher and Robin made friends with a real life owl and a real life rabbit that also survived for like, I don't know, 30 years while he was growing up. I don't know. Yeah, all right film. All right film. It's all right to watch on a Sunday afternoon when you've got nothing else to do.
I'd also say about Ewan McGregor, as you said, this film came out 2018. I'll take your word for that. I don't know that for certain. But
it was either 2018 or 2019. It was one of them.
Yeah, but I do know that Dr. Sleep came out 2019, which he's playing a completely different character.
Yeah.
So,
and Trainspotting 2 came out around the same time as well, I think.
Yeah. I'm just saying that Ewan McGregor needs an Oscar nomination.
And do you know what? I actually thought that when he was acting, and you then realise that he's acting with nothing in this, you know.
Exactly.
It's all CGI, of course. So, like, his acting is really, really good in it, I think, for what he has to do. It's like Bob Hoskins in Roger Rabbit, right? You know, he's just... He's got nothing to bounce off of, but he's still... But you wouldn't know that. Watching the film, you would not know that. I think he was brilliant in it. He's definitely the standout. But then again, he is the lead in it. So, I was going to watch Chaos Walking, which is... I can't remember the director, but it features Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland. And the director also directed Edge of Tomorrow and American Made, two Tom Cruise films that I think are quite good. Then I saw it on Metacritic, and it has a Metacritic rating of like 30. So I sort of avoided that, which is a bit of a shame because it had an interesting premise. I think it was something like Daisy Ridley's like the first female seen in the wild for Donkey G. I don't know. It just it was some sci-fi film with two big actors. There's some other actors in it, and I was like, oh, sounds good. And then I realised that no. It's got slated by critics, and it's not even a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, so not worth my time.
When the set photos first came out, they were everywhere. Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland.
I mean, I don't know. From what I've seen review-wise, it's not got great reviews, but I am going to watch this week, and I was going to watch it you know, previously, but I haven't got around to it, but coming up, I'm going to watch Love and Monsters, I think it's called. Just dropped on Netflix. It's one of those films that was meant to come out 2020, but then the pandemic hit, and I think it got a release in America, but it didn't, you know, make its way over here. It's got Dylan O'Brien, which I really like as an actor. One of my guilty pleasures, hand up, got to admit, is the MTV series Teen Wolf, and he is the standout in that. So I think I'm going to watch that this week. But that's it film-wise.
Yep.
Any other films you got to add?
I've got three more things I want to talk about. I watched Be Kind Rewind, which I believe is one of the most underrated films of all time.
Remind me what that is again.
So it's got Jack Black. It's got Danny Glover. And Danny Glover owns this sort of like a Blockbusters, but it's all VHS. It's at a time when DVDs were starting to become a thing. So basically the shop's like, no one, it's not worth going there anymore. And Jack Black, he's kind of like this weird, goofy criminal who hasn't got a job. But he tries to do this thing with... like this electricity circuit, and he gets like this electric shock, and now he's suddenly got like this magical power where he sort of glitches stuff. So when he walks through this shop and when he's touching all the VHSs, it erases the data from them. So him and the guy that has to work there, played by, I think it's Mos Def, I'm not 100% how you pronounce his name, but they just remake all the films. So like a woman comes into the shop, and they're basically, she's like, I want to watch Ghostbusters. So Jack Black says, well, she's never seen it before, so we can just remake it and say that's what it is. So then they go around making these really low budget remakes of like really famous films.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. I think it's a fantastic film, and I think everyone should watch it.
No, it sounds good. I'm always up for a bit of Jack Black. I'll follow anything Jack Black. Apart from House with a Clock in its Walls or something like that. That went meant to be very good. I never got around to watching that. But yeah, I'm always up for a Jack Black film, so I'll definitely give that a watch at some point.
Yeah. This week I also watched, it's not a film, but it's Louis Theroux's new Tiger King special. So he visited Joe Exotic a long time ago. And I watched that one after like Tiger King had come out. Where he's gone to the GW Zoo and everything. So this one, he goes out there and he's just wanting to interview all the people involved, pretty much. But they've all signed a contract with the producers of Tiger King to basically say they can't talk to any other filmmakers. So he reviews unused footage that he did for the first time round, and a lot of it, you see Joe talking about Carol Baskin, and she's not really touched on in Louis Theroux's original one. So obviously, like, it was a thing that was always there, but because it wasn't, like, because he hadn't gone to prison or anything yet, basically took it as, like, he's just having a laugh, you know? So it's really interesting to see. And there's moments where he's like, Joe's like, turn the camera off, and then the cameraman will just put the camera on the floor. But you can still hear him saying, like, I'm going to hire someone to murder it. Stuff like that.
Interesting.
And then he also goes to, like, Joe's family and stuff, because they haven't signed this agreement. So he interviews a couple people there. But it's really interesting to see his take on it after Tiger King come out, because obviously he's a documentary filmmaker, so to see his views on the series as well is really interesting.
Yeah.
I watched it on, I think I watched it on BBC iPlayer.
I was going to ask, what's it on? Yeah.
Yeah.
BBC iPlayer, yeah? Yeah, I'll definitely give that a watch. How long is it? About an hour or so? Or?
I think it was 80 minutes, I think.
Oh, so decent time then, yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely give that a watch at some point. Anything else, Ben?
And then the last thing I watched this week was The Terminator, 1984.
Bum, 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 bum,
bum. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I haven't watched it for a long time.
Oh, it's good.
And there's a couple of things I want to talk about which kind of play into my pitches. So I'll talk about them then. However, it's just a fun film, isn't it?
It's really good. It's solid. And it holds up, like the special effects and stuff. Obviously, that opening sequence is all models and stuff, but I think it sort of holds up, you know, all the stuff set in the future hasn't aged that poorly compared to some of the, even some of the own Terminator movies. Like, obviously, Terminator 2, with the T-1000, it does look a bit ropey because of, you know, it was one of the first big CGI special effects, right? But even that, you can take it for its time. Terminator 3 and stuff, it does start to get a little bit ropey there. But yeah, Terminator 1, special effects still hold up. It's the same with the original Alien. I think the original Alien, the special effects and stuff, you can't bat it. The only problem I have with the original Aliens, I can't hear anything they're saying because of the like the way they recorded the voices and stuff. You know, it was that, it had that, I don't know, that muffly sound to it that you just don't get nowadays. But yeah, brilliant film. Absolutely brilliant film.
I would say it's kind of put me back onto James Cameron. Like, I never he's not someone that I really choose to watch, I guess.
No.
But he is very distinctive in, you know, the Terminator and then Aliens, which he directed.
And T2. Yeah. I mean, that you can't beat, can you? You know, and like, I enjoyed Avatar. I think it is a bit long. I definitely don't think it's a franchise that, you know, should be expanded upon for five movies. But like, Avatar's is very visually stunning. Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Aliens. Obviously, Titanic, one of the biggest movies of all time. And just the sets they built and stuff on it. You know, it's just, you can't deny that James Cameron knows what he's doing. Well, you sort of can now, seeing that he's trying to do five Avatar movies, but still. Before we get into the topic, Ben, I just wanted to say that me and my other half, Hayley, we have finished It Takes Two. I don't know if you've been hearing a lot of people talk about this game, Ben, but it's my game of the year so far. I mean, I haven't really played any much games that have come out this year. This and Outriders are sort of the only games that have been released this year that I've played. But definitely just 100% solid game. Like, it all feels great to play. I mean, that's the best way of selling it. Is obviously it's a co-op only game, but it works so well and it doesn't feel janky whatsoever. It just feels really, really responsive. It'll introduce a new mechanic for like 5 minutes. You'll never see that mechanic ever again. But while you're playing it, you think this is better than some games that this mechanic is the whole game, you know, and they just use it for 5-10 minutes. Like, there's a section where you're on jetpacks. Fantastic. Honestly, controls so well, but, like, it controls better than the Iron Man game that came out around the movie, which was that for, like, 8 hours. You know, it controls better than, like, Dark Void, which is a jetpacking game. That's just an example, right? But yeah, it's just such a solid, solid game. Good story and all that. I think the ending was a little bit rushed, but apart from that, I don't really have anything bad to say about it. Really, really unique levels. It's tricky because it's co-op only. So you do need to find someone else to play it with you. But once you do, it is a really, really good game. Hayley's not very good at 3D platformers, but she managed to get the hang of it in this. There's a lot of sort of, you have to jump, then double jump and dash, and then swing off a like a, it's like a Spider-Man web, right? You have to hook your like rope around it and swing onto the next platform. Like, it's very involved, but it is really, really worth it. I mean, the game is like 10 hours long, so it is a fully, fully fledged game. And it wasn't full price. I think it was £35, which, you know, is not a full price game in the UK. So, but it's a long game for what you pay, and it is a really, really good experience. But yeah, I do employ everyone who listens to this who can play with someone else to definitely give it a go. Have you had a chance to look into it at all, Ben?
I haven't played it, but I have seen you play it. A little bit of it. And I'd say just like visually, I think it looks great. And then also just watching like you play it, I can see what you mean. It's like it's quite fluid and responsive.
It is really, really responsive. There's like a part really early on in the game where you have to throw, like the male character has to aim and throw nails, and the female character has a, you know, the top of a hammer, and she uses the top of the hammer to swing on the nails to get up higher, right? And you can recall the nails by pressing, I think it's like RB or LB or something like that, right? So you aim with left trigger, you throw it with right trigger, and then you can recall it with like LB, let's say. I can't remember, it's really early on in the game. But the responsiveness of recalling it really reminded me of God of War 2018. Like, you feel like Thor with nails. It's ridiculous. You can throw the nails and it's like, and it just feels really, really good. It's hard to explain, but just the feel of the game is just so tight and responsive. That's why I really, really liked it, I think. I weren't really into the story. I think it tries to tell a really emotional story, and it just goes a really dark place. But I won't get into that. But anything else you want to add, Ben, before we get into our topic this week?
I just want to say one more thing. About an hour or so before we're recording this, the Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings trailer has just come out. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet.
Has it? I didn't realise this.
So I'll just say my quick thoughts on it. I think everyone's kind of excited for this film. Like, it's a martial arts film produced by Marvel. I think it's going to be
and good. It's a unique story for the first time. Yeah. You know, it's a new character for the first in the MCU for the first time since Captain Marvel, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah. Probably. I'd guess so.
I mean, like, with a film based around him, obviously, new characters are being introduced in, like, WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier, but, like, we haven't had a new origin story, really, since Captain Marvel, which was, like, 2019, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's between the Avengers, wasn't it? I'd say just based on this trailer, Awkwafina has a bigger role than I thought, a bigger presence, which is great, because I think she's a great actress. To me, watching this trailer on its own, there's no real suggestion of the wider Marvel universe. It's very contained as, like, its own film.
I don't mind that.
No, I don't either.
No.
And only in cinemas, 3rd of September, 2021.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, like I said, I don't mind that because, you know, recently with WandaVision, Falcon the Winter Soldier, I feel like they're just trying to shove too many people into it, and it does start feeling a little bit condensed, this world. You know, with Monica Rambeau in WandaVision, some of the people turn up in Falcon and Winter Soldier. I know you haven't seen it yet, Ben, so I won't go into it. But it's starting to feel like, okay, are we cameoing in every film now? Like Black Widow, obviously we haven't seen it yet, but that, I mean, I am excited for Black Widow. I just think the excitement sort of went away for a while, right? Because they kept delaying it. I think now it is coming to Disney Plus Premier Access or something. So, I am excited for that. But this, Shang-Chi and the Eternals, I'm really excited for, because it's something in the universe we've not seen before. You know, also martial arts, which is cool. I think the film that done martial arts the best was Captain America: The Winter Soldier, right? Would you say, Ben?
Yeah.
So to actually get a fully fledged martial art film, really excited for. The Eternals, I'm just excited to see these actors, you know, big name actors, with a really, really great director behind them, and just see where it goes. I just want to know where it goes. What's it doing? What's the new story? Because that's how I felt with Guardians of the Galaxies. Who are these people? What's their story? Where is this story going? And that's what I'm really excited about with the Eternals. And Shang-Chi, of course. So, yeah. I will watch the trailer. I don't know if I'll watch the trailer, actually. You know me. I like to avoid all trailers. I mean, I watched the Suicide Squad trailer. I don't know. I'll think about it. Shall we get into the topic, Ben?
Yep.
So, as I said earlier, we are pitching our version of the perfect Terminator video game. There has been lots and lots of attempts at Terminator video games, and none of them have really done that well. There's some sort of fan favourites in there. Some really, really bad ones, of course. I'm not going to go too deep into it, just because there are so many. I'm just going to touch on a couple. So, the very, very first Terminator video game was released in 1991. It was based on the first film, of course. It was an action-adventure game released for MS-DOS. And do you know who it was developed by, Ben?
Nope.
Bethesda. Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. Bethesda Softworks, it was like sort of one of their earliest games. Yeah, developed in 91. It was just sort of like a point and click. From what I could tell, anyway, I didn't watch any footage of it, but it was like a point and click adventure-y type game. So, yeah, that's the first one. So, Terminator 1 has 5 games released based on the film, on 8 different systems, you know, sort of NES and SNES, and there was one on mobile as well. So loads and loads of systems. Terminator 2 had 8 games released on the film on 14 different systems, as well as a pinball machine and like a slot game, which I think they're like Japan only. I don't really know how they work. Terminator 3 had 4 games released on 5 systems, and on mobile and a pinball. So quite a few for Terminator 3. Then it just dips. There's like barely anything after this. So Terminator Salvation had 1 game released on all systems at the time, PS3, Xbox 360, and stuff like that. And it also had an arcade game as well. That Terminator Salvation was like a third-person shooter, like Gears of War type thing. I picked it up, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. If you don't know, if you listen to the podcast and don't know, I collect Xbox 360 games. I'm trying to get a complete collection, although that is to the chagrin of my other half. But it is not great. Really, really not great. I just remember the graphics were terrible, for starters. Which, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Xbox 360, you know, it's not the best graphics system of all time, but it does have some good-looking games. But this was just diabolical. And just people would, like, in a cutscene would run and then just stop, and then go and take cover, and just like really, really janky. And it was just like a Gears of War knockoff. So, yeah, not great. And I think it had like 4 weapons. I don't know. Terminator Genesis. So this came out, I think, 2015. I think 2016, Terminator Genesis came out. So fairly recently, you know, within the last 5 years or so. But it only got a mobile game, I believe, which is a little bit mad, isn't it? You know, I think licensed games definitely went away for a while, but now they're starting to come back. But there have been 9 additional games that aren't based on any of the films, you know, just sort of set in the universe. And they're sort of better, you know, higher sort of reviewed and stuff than the other games that are based on them. So, yeah, I just thought that was quite interesting. So the most recent Terminator game, which again was not based on any movie, I don't think, anyway, I haven't played it. It was called Terminator Resistance. It came out in 2019. sort of in the release window of the movie that just recently come out. What was it? I can't remember what it's called now. It had Sarah Connor in it again.
Salvation?
No, that was 2006, that one. That was 2008, that was. I can't remember. But the game that came out sort of in that release window, it was like a first-person shooter, and it was sort of set in the future of Terminator. And, yeah, it didn't really have anything to do with the film, but it did get really poorly reviewed by critics. But fans really, really liked it. And if you look on Steam, it's like overwhelmingly positive reviews or something like that. I might give it a go. I think one of the things is that the Terminators are really, really hard to kill, which they should be. So I think that was what the critics didn't like about it, is that, you know, the enemies felt bullet spongy, but apparently you can sort of level up, and in leveling up, you get better weapons and you can take them out a bit quicker, blah, 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 blah. So I do want to give it a go at some point, especially when it first came out. I wanted to give it a go, but I've not got a chance to get around to actually buying it. So, yeah, that was the most recent one. Have you seen any gameplay of it at all, Ben?
I don't think so. I think I saw a gameplay of one. That might have been Salvation. That might be why I'm getting confused. But that, to me, I only saw a little bit, and that just kind of looked like a very safe third-person shooter.
It was, pretty much. One of the better-regarded games in the Terminator universe is RoboCop versus the Terminator. Not sure if you heard about this one, Ben, but it's a 16-bit side-scrolling action game released on the SNES and the Mega Drive, or Genesis, if you're in America. It was slightly based on the crossover comic that was, I think, published by Dark Horse Comics. You actually play as RoboCop, not a Terminator, I don't think, anyway. And I did play a little bit of it, and what I remember is you move really slowly, right? And I was like, oh, this is boring. But then, like, thinking upon it, you are a man covered in robot parts. RoboCop, you know, apart from the most recent film, RoboCop does move very slowly. And you have to, you know, shoot enemies and, of course, I think some Terminators and stuff. I didn't finish the game, but played a little bit of it. Have you seen this at all, Ben?
Or heard of it? No. Again, I saw it when I was, like, researching just the name, but I haven't seen the gameplay or anything.
No, it's, it is one of the better regarded games. I think most of the Terminator games that sort of came out on the SNES and stuff, they're all similar, but, you know, there's only so much you can do, and if you manage to do it right, then, yeah, I mean, I think it is what it is, but it does it quite well, you know? So, another fan favourite is Terminator 3 The Redemption. Now, there was, there was four Terminator 3 games or something like that. There was one that was like a first-person shooter. I think there was a fighting game. I think there was like a Mortal Kombat-esque fighting game. But this one was like a third-person shooter with some on-rail shooting sections. You know, action scenes. Very Uncharted-esque type thing. But it sort of gives a little bit more backstory to the T-850 that, you know, we see in Terminator 3. It has a few levels set in the future, and then it sort of follows the sequence of the film, I believe. It came out on the PS2, the Xbox, the OG Xbox, and GameCube. I looked it up a little bit. It looks quite fun, you know, sort of, again, quite safe third-person shooting, but the action sequences seemed quite cool to me, you know, the on-rail ones. I think there's like a car chase scene, and, you know, you're on top of the car shooting down helicopters and stuff. That looked quite cool to me, so, that was one of the better-regarded games. But Terminator also has a few cameos in a few games. Obviously, I think the most cameos he has was alongside the most recent movie. I think that was their way of, you know, releasing a Terminator game when the movie came out, because when the movie came out, there was a cameo in Gears 5 first, I think. Then there was one in Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I believe, and also he's a DLC character in Mortal Kombat 11. So, yeah, I mean, they're probably, that's probably a safe way of doing it, because you've got three solid games already released, and it just gets fan interest going again as well. So, yeah, I didn't really play as the Terminator characters in Gears 5, but I think they were just a skin, because you could play as Batista as well. So, yeah, and again, I've not actually played Ghost Recon Breakpoint. I did play Ghost Recon Wildlands, where Predator shows up, but that's a story for another time. Ben, did you play as Terminator in Mortal Kombat 11 at all?
No, I didn't have that DLC. But he was a very, you know, grapply sort of slow-moving character.
I struggled with him. He is slow, but hits hard. You know, he's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in it and Robocop's in it. So you could say that's the sequel to Robocop versus Terminator. Robocop, I preferred. He doesn't move very fast, but he jumps really, really high in that game. So, like, you could just jump really high and get closer that way. But Robocop has a lot more sort of ranged attacks than Terminator. So, just comparing those two, I think I prefer Robocop. But, yeah, I mean, it's just cool to see him in a game, I suppose, you know. And actually, you know, the good thing with Mortal Kombat is all the DLC characters, they have their own moveset. You know, they're fully fleshed out. They're not just, oh, it's a skin. They're full characters that they've had to develop from the ground up most of the time. So, yeah. Anything you want to add, Ben, before we get into our pitches?
He also shows up in WWE 2K16.
Really?
I didn't know that. Which I think probably came out with Genesis.
Maybe? Yeah, it must have been, yeah. I didn't know that. Is that as a skin or...?
No, he's has his own character. I think there was two. I think there was like a T1 and a T2 version.
Oh yeah.
But it was quite funny because like I usually get them every year, the wrestling games, because I think they're like easy, fun things to do.
Yeah.
And I remember like the years before that, the DLC, like I think he was like pre-order character, and the pre-order ones are always like big wrestlers from like the past and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and then we got to this one and it was like Arnie. It was a bit
weird. Know that. That's quite interesting. What do you think of Terminator Genesis, Ben? I remember at the time really, really enjoying it, but then I went back and watched it and I was like, oh, actually, not great.
Yeah, I think it's just got the classic sequeling problem, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right. Salvation is often regarded as not a bad film. I really, really enjoyed Salvation and the sort of, you know, the way it wanted to take that story, how they were sort of turning humans into Terminators and stuff. That was quite cool. You know, just the future setting of it all. I did really enjoy that. Again, I was like 14 when I watched it in the cinema. So obviously, you know, to a 14-year-old me, it's like the best thing ever. But I do think, I would say it's better than 3. I think 1 and 2 are obviously the best, but I'd say Terminator Salvation and the most recent one are probably second part of that, and then 3 and Genesis aren't great at all. But anyway, shall we get into the pitches?
Yep.
So I've got two. Sort of one is an idea, you know, sort of half a pitch, and the other one's a bit more fleshed out. So what about you, Ben?
I've got three, but again, like two of them are a bit kind of half.
Well, do you want to give us one to go with first, and then I'll give my one and your one and my one?
Yep. So the one I've got more on is an Overwatch style game. Oh. So Overwatch is you have two teams, mm-hmm. And basically you pick a character from a specific like roster of characters, who all have their own unique abilities and weapons and everything.
Yeah.
And Overwatch, obviously, it's like a live service game. I haven't played it for a long time, but I assume they're probably still adding stuff to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Know that for sure.
Sequel coming out this year, apparently.
Mm. So, and it's like the game modes are usually like capture a point or escort a payload.
Payload,
Something like that. Very simple sort of game modes. Mm. And I think it would translate nicely. I was basically thinking, how can you take these characters in terms of like the Terminators themselves, you know, T-800, T-1000, them unique.
Yeah.
So I thought this is a nice way to give them all their own abilities and give a reason to choose one over another one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just have everyone choosing Arnie, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I thought it could still be two teams. And then obviously on one side you have just Terminators. So in terms of like films and alliances in the films, just basically take it as it's the Terminators versus like the humans, right?
Mm.
So on the Terminator side, you could have T-800, T-1000, T-850, T-3000, T-whatever.
Yeah.
And then on like the human side, you can have Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese and John Connor. And I think just take them from their prime. So like you have problems with like, for example, Battlefront 2, you have Anakin and you have Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So there's that weird dynamic there. So you might have like Sarah Connor and John Connor the same age, even though he's like her son and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
You kind of just forget about that, right? Just take them in their prime. And then obviously each character has unique weapons and abilities. So, you know, like Arnie will have his red pointer laser gun that he has in the first film.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone else has different guns.
You could have like the T-850 has a minigun and a coffin, like he does in Terminator 3. Just puts a coffin on his shoulder and has a minigun in the left hand.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like obviously, they've all got unique abilities. But obviously, try and keep them... try and keep them level in terms of power. Because obviously, a whole team of Terminators is pretty much a shoe-in, right? So there'll have to be something to kind of dumb them down a bit.
Yeah. Thing... Like the shooting is just sort of the bread and butter, but where it gets interesting is the additional abilities, which I think is what Overwatch does.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, there's, like, team abilities and stuff, you know, so someone will have, like, a crowd control, and then someone will have a high damage one, and then you can use them together get, like, big multi-kills and everything. Then the other thing I thought of was locations, because in Overwatch you have these unique locations, which, again, kind of depends on what game mode you're playing. So if you're playing, like, a Escort the Payload one, it's more of just a long sort of map. But if you've got a capture the point, it's usually just a bigger map. And a lot of the time, it's kind of one central thing and then the surrounding area. So I was thinking for this, you can have the corral bar from the opening scene of Terminator 2 a center point when he walks in and he wants some clothes. You could have the nightclub from the first film when it's like the first point they sort of have a little shootout. You could have Big Jeff's if you want, where Sarah Connor works, the restaurant cafe sort of thing. And then you could have like a...
They love a bridge in the Terminator movies, don't they?
That's true. Then you could have a map that's set like in 2029 LA, where it's all like apocalyptic and everything. And again, like center point and then just bigger surrounding area. So it's not all just going to be, you know, in the restaurant because that's be too small. So it have to be like just a bigger surrounding area. And obviously just pad it out with whatever you want. And then I thought, I was writing this up, and then I thought it could maybe be more like Apex Legends in terms of... It still has a roster of set characters with set abilities, different from other like battle royales where you basically go in there with nothing, right?
And then you equip while you're there type thing,
So with Apex, obviously it's smaller teams, but obviously more than two, more players, and it's battle royale. I didn't put too much thought into the dynamic of Terminators or humans. I guess maybe like it's just whoever's on your team, they work together. Again, you kind of have to just forget about any alliances from the film or anything. But I was just thinking basically a game mode where you can have a big multiplayer set in and just big old shootouts. But it still has a clear objective of for example, capturing a point, but give everyone the chance to play as people from the films without making them too samey, give a reason to choose someone over someone else.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I think, yeah, but as like an Apex Legends-esque sort of battle royale where, you know, there are little side objectives. I think they're like called contracts or something like that. I'm total battle royale noob. The closest thing I've played to battle royale was Fall Guys. So I wouldn't know anything. But yeah, like that sort of, you could have like your T-850 as this ability, your T-800 as this, and, you know, maybe like a T-800 sort of just like a well-rounded, your T-850 is bigger but slower, your T-1000's like quick, but takes a lot of damage really quickly, but then maybe doesn't die, maybe it just freezes him until we can, like, you know, repatch himself together. And then not only that, but yeah, again, the powers that go alongside them, you know, maybe, again, your T-800 is really basic, but he's really good with firearms, and then your T-850 is better with melee, and then your T-1000, maybe something like Team Fortress 2 can impersonate someone from the opposite team, so they think they're on your team, you sneak up, boom, you're dead. Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting take on a Terminator video game that I don't think, unfortunately, we'd ever get to see. And what I've got to pitch, I don't think we'd ever get to see as well. But really, really interesting. I like it, Benz. I like it. Shall I give my one?
The only other thing I was going to say is, like, you could have ultimate abilities as well, like in Overwatch. So you could have Arnie say, "I'll be back," and then he's in a car.
And then he's in a car, yeah. And the T-850 could have a minigun just... His ultimate is like he gets a minigun out and a coffin, like I said. Such a weird movie, the number three. Anyway, and also, Arnie looks really weird in that movie. I don't know if you've noticed it, but he's wearing like women's leather clothes, I think. I don't know. It's just like full on leather in Terminator 3, but it doesn't fit him right. I don't know. Right, so my pitch is quite simple. Resident Evil 2 remake, but a Terminator movie. Easy. You put Sarah Connor as Claire Redfield, and the person pursuing you is a Terminator, like Mr. X. Now, I just jotted this down, I was like, boom, done. Easy, peasy. But then I was like, you know, like in Resident Evil 2, obviously there's zombies, right? So then what can we do for that? And I was like, oh, I don't really know. Then I was like sort of thinking, maybe it would be better sort of set in the future where you're John Connor, but like a young John Connor, right? So you could be like John Connor. You get, you know, you get trapped. Your teammates have to leave you. And there's an Arnie type Terminator hunting you down. You know, he's set on his ways to get you. He's a big boy. He's a big, thick boy, right? And then maybe there's like smaller, you know, smaller, lesser built-up Terminators that don't have any skin on them. They're just very, very simple Terminators, and they can be like your slow-moving enemies, like in Resident Evil 2, right? They're, you know, your zombies are your bog standard. You've got some lickers in there. You could have some, like, Terminator dogs. I don't know. And then... you could even, well, so I think that would work, like set in the future. The main aim of like Resident Evil 2 is to be able to solve your puzzles, get your bits that you need without Mr. X catching you, right? That's why it's always suspenseful, because you need to get in that room, but you know he's upstairs and he could come down the stairs at any minute type thing. Really, really interesting gameplay. One of my favourite games released last generation. So I was like, maybe you could do that. Maybe you could set it in the Sarah Connor sort of timeline, and obviously Arnold again is Mr. X, and maybe you could just have like thugs set in LA that you don't shoot, obviously don't kill them, but you have to like beat them up or run away, or you know, take them out somehow. Or maybe there are some smaller Terminators that have come from the future into that. I don't really know how it would work. But I think if you set it with the Sarah Connor timeline, there's quite an interesting thing where in Resident Evil 2, you play through the story. We played it through as Claire Redfield, right? And then you have to play it again as Leon. And then when you play it again as Leon, it's the same game, but all the story beats are different and all the cutscenes are different. So you don't experience the full story in Resident Evil 2 Remake without, or Resident Evil 2, the original, without playing through both of them. Then there's an additional playthrough for both characters where it shows more of the story and gives you like an extended ending, right? So what I thought you could do is you could have like your Sarah Connor playthrough, and then you could have your Carl Reese playthrough, which is quite interesting because Sarah Connor, she doesn't really have any skills. You could give her a shotgun, whatever, whereas Carl Reese, he knows how to shoot. He comes like equipped with a pistol or whatever. So I thought that could be quite interesting. Again, the main thing is maybe you sort of set it in maybe a police station, maybe like a warehouse type place. And it's quite enclosed. It's quite, claustrophobic, as you would say. And he's around every corner. You can hear him. You know he's close the whole time. And you got to get your bits to solve your puzzles while he's pursuing you. It's quite simple. I think it would need a bit more fleshing out, but I think it would get a lot of people playing it as well, and I think that's quite a solid game to import Terminator into. I'm probably sure there's a mod somewhere, just replacing Mr. X with Arnie. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think the limited number of characters lends itself well. I think obviously a lot of like sci-fi films that came out in the 80s, except for Star Wars and Back to the Future, a lot of them are lean into horror quite a lot.
Yeah.
So aliens and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was quite sort of popular, wasn't it? I mean, I think it's having a bit of I think there's a bit of a resurgence at the moment as horror elements in normal films, comedy elements in horror films. And I don't know if that's because of like the spoofs that we got, sort of in the mid-2000s, late 90s. But there's definitely a lot of horror elements in Terminator for sure. Anything to add?
And then I guess with zombies and stuff, sort of just mindless NPCs, which are quite easy to transfer over.
That was the only sort of thing I struggled on, but I'm sure there's a workaround somehow. Go on then, Ben, give us your second one.
So I had a similar thought in terms of like a kind of survival game, but I changed it a little bit because I feel like we've done a lot of them. Because I feel like, again, they're quite easy to apply to films that feature these kind of limited main characters.
Yeah.
So instead I thought of like a search and destroy game.
Okay.
Because the narrative of the Terminator is pretty much search and destroy Sarah Connor, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, right, search and destroy game, I feel like is a bit, like there's not a lot of games you could confidently describe as that. However, I'd say a game mode which does feature kind of search and destroy things are Rainbow Six games.
Right.
Specifically, the ones that I've played the most would be Rainbow Six Vegas and Vegas 2.
They're the ones
that I've personally played the most.
Yeah.
Where they're kind of, find a thing, destroy the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you just play as Arnie, go round, find some Sarah Connors, because he kills a fair few of them in the first film.
Yeah.
And just kill them. And for this, I've also written in the notes, could include horror elements, like, for example, the Friday the 13th video game, where, again, just one big bad boy that someone plays as,
big boy.
You go and find people and you kill them.
Yeah.
I guess because it would most likely just be a single-player game, have him as powerful as you need.
Yeah.
I feel like if you want him to like one hit kill people, go for it. I don't think he needs very kind of powerful enemies. Obviously, don't make it too easy, but I think just have it, yeah, just all about the Terminator.
Yeah, I have something a little bit similar. It's fairly different. But yeah, I think that's, again, that is the Terminator, right? He's hunting down and destroying. Obviously, in the sequels, it's protecting, but yeah, definitely. I'll give my second pitch because that what I've got as an idea is fairly similar to yours. So this second pitch, I was going to say sequel then. Sequel to the first pitch. No. Second pitch. This is the game that I would personally like, you know, being selfish here. So I would like a Terminator game where you play as a bog-standard Terminator. It doesn't have to be Arnold. Maybe Arnold's a skin or whatever. Maybe it's like a creator character, right? But the aim of the game is to go back in time to different periods, and you've got like a target, right? So it's like a Terminator bounty hunter game. Okay, so basically you go into these different time periods, you've got these big open levels, and there's, I don't know, 2-3 targets you need to take out, or there's a target you need to take out, but you don't know what they look like. You just know their name, so then you have to, you know, sort of search around, find who they are, right? So a little bit like Search and Destroy, but mixed with a bit of bounty hunting. So the gameplay would be very similar to a game like Dishonored or the recent Hitman games. So it's like, it's not open world, right? But it's open level. You've got a certain level, but it's quite open, and you can go your way about it however you choose. You might go straight in, boom, shoot him in the face, done. Or you might take your time, look around, kill him in a really unique way. Or you might go guns blazing, you might go stealth. There's lots of different options. But your main aim of the game is to take out a certain target in each level, or a few different targets. So I would say you start out as a normal Terminator, nothing special really. You can withstand bullets a bit, you're a bit tougher, maybe you can hack a few doors, that's about it. You know, you start off with no weapons. You have to find your weapons in the levels, right? That's quite interesting, because you know, when you go back through time, they're butt naked, so maybe they have to find clothes as well. I think that could be quite interesting. Then as you play through the game, you can start acquiring new abilities, like in Dishonored. So in Dishonored, you sort of start out, then you get like a warp ability, then you get like a mirror ability or something like that. There's lots of different abilities in Dishonored, and it's very like suitable to your playstyle. You can play however you want with these elements, right? So I've said maybe you can like upgrade and get spider bots that you can send through vents and distract people, this, that, and the other. Maybe you can upgrade your hacking skills. Maybe you can, I don't know, unlock an ability where you take your face off and scare someone, like, because you're a robot, and then, you know, they're set in a stun mode type thing. Maybe you can even upgrade the unit yourself. So you start off as a T-800, but you could upgrade into a T-1000, get your chipset transferred. Then you can unlock even different abilities, like you can unlock like melee abilities where you turn your hands into a spike, or you can even unlock, you can go melt down and slide through doors and come up the other side. Or you could even do like a mirror ability, so you could kill someone and take on their appearance, and then you can get up to your target nice and close. Or even you could even upgrade to a Rev 9, which is in the most recent Terminator, where you can actually separate from yourself. So what it's like a T-1000, right? But over like a T-800 shell. So it like separates. One of them can sort of replicate other people. And then the other one's just like a hard metal shell. So you could either do that where, you know, you can impersonate people and then get up nice and close, or you could go in guns blazing, you could split apart, you could send one person off here, and then you could sneak around the back, so you could use them as a distraction. Or you could maybe even have these puzzles where you have to actually activate switches at the same time. I think that could be quite interesting. I think the Rev 9 has got some interesting game mechanics it could have for something that wasn't really utilised in the film much. It was just, oh, look, it's two Terminators that mould into one, really, wouldn't it? I'd like to see it set in different locations in different time periods. So, like, maybe you could have, like, a World War II France. You could have, like, a 1970s America with, like, you know, the protests against Vietnam and stuff like that. You could have, like, 1960s London, gangsters, Cockney people, this, that, and the other. You could have, like, a 90s New York, very pop culture, you know, like, big movies coming out, this, that, and the other, video games and all sorts of stuff. You know, so there's sort of different time periods and locations that would be really interesting to set it. But, yeah, like with you, Ben, it is... Here's your target, you search and destroy. You might not even know what they look like. You'd have to get clues throughout the level. Or you know what they look like, but they're really hard to get to, so you have to find ways around. And I think that's what the Hitman games do very well. But you partner that with the Dishonored upgrades that you use to not only take out enemies, but to actually access locations that you couldn't currently get to, like the teleport ability and stuff like that. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I think the idea of you start with like nothing and then you can upgrade and stuff obviously plays into the film, because like they're basically like foreign aliens, right? Or Arnie, like in the first one.
Yeah,
He's got no clothes on and then he walks up to a group of people.
Yeah.
They say to him, "It's a nice night for a walk." And then he replies with, "Nice night for a walk." It's like he knows nothing. So I think like the idea of upgrading and stuff plays in well. Same with like different time periods, because again, it's like they can go wherever they want, but then they sort of have to like learn what's going on there, you know.
That's it. Get used to this, you know, culture, time and culture that you've dropped into. You know, 80s LA, he is completely different to obviously like 2029 LA and stuff like that. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, I think it's just a really interesting mechanic where with the different time zones and the different locations, it just gives you so much option to just really get creative in those areas and stuff. Like not from a not a player perspective, but a developer perspective, right? And then, yeah, you have to, okay, well, what clothes are relevant for this time zone? You know, you're not going to go 1960s London and dress up in, like, a pink vest and shorts and flip-flops like you dress up nowadays. You know, you're going to have to wear, like, a suit or something like that, right, to actually fit in. Otherwise, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. But then maybe if you go into the 80s, and you're wearing brown. What? Who wears brown in the 80s? Why are you brown with a mustache? Get your mullet and get your high, you know, your high colour clothes. Stuff like that. I think that could be quite interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Or do you want to give your next one?
No, I'll do my next one.
Cool.
So I think... I think Terminator lends itself to an open world game for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned a second ago, of like you're just put there, and because you literally know nothing, you can search everywhere and you'll find something new. And then I specifically put open world GTA style game. The reason being, there is a lot of vehicles in that first film that I realised when I watched it recently. And specifically, tyre shots. There's a lot of shots of tyres of like cars coming into frame and you see like a tire. And... there's so many of them. Like you see the tank track things from 2029, and then one of the first shots is a car pulling up, and then obviously you see his motorbike and you see the tires, and then you see the car that Kyle and Sarah are in, and you see the tires, and then you see him get in the big truck thing and you see the tires. There's just a lot of tire shots.
James Cameron has a tire fetish, clearly, or did at that time.
Yeah. So I think, like, from the games that I've seen the Terminator in and from his cameos in other games, he's never using a vehicle. So no. I think give him something to do with a vehicle. And I thought way to do that is an open world game, because obviously there's a lot of space to use a vehicle. Again, like the last games we've talked about, find something, kill it. Find a Sarah Connor. And then obviously because it's like an open world game and the story would be very like probably single player, similar to like GTA. Obviously it's got online, but I'd say it's most famous for its single player stories. I'd say you could have it so that he goes around killing people at first, and then slowly comes to realize he should start protecting them. You know, you could make a longer story, which links over multiple films.
Yeah, I mean, the most recent film did that, didn't it? Where there was no reprogramming, nothing was there to Arnie in the most recent one. He killed John Connor and then realized he had no purpose. And that was sort of it. Sort of became self-aware. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Making an actual quite deep story out of it, you could do, couldn't you? You know, like, what are we? We're just what we're created to be type thing. So that could be quite cool. Definitely with the cars, that could... I mean, you know, Arnie with the trucks, Arnie on the motorbike, smashing a car through a police station... You know, the films really rely heavily on like chase scenes, right? So yeah, definitely 100%. I would play it. I would definitely play it. Just need to find someone to make it. anything you got to add, Ben?
Again, just like we see the Terminator, and he's just there to use to beat someone else up. So you know. Maybe give him a car or give him an actual story in these games that he features in.
I mean, I think I do, like, don't get me wrong, I think Terminator does lend itself well to quite a few shooter games. But it's just overdone, isn't it? Like, there's just too many first person shooters. Not so much now, but especially in the past. It's time for something new. At the moment, all games are pretty much open world, aren't they? Pretty much. But, like, yeah, get creative with it. I just want a Terminator game set in, you know, that 80s era, not in the future. Because a lot of the Terminator games are set in the future. You know, Terminator Salvation, Terminator... what we said earlier, free redemption or whatever, it's got future segments, right? Just, I want to see a proper AAA, fully fleshed out 80s Terminator game. Whether you play as Sarah and you've got to run away from him, or you play as Terminator himself, could be really interesting. I think that does it, Ben, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for listening. Please, 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 please leave us a rating wherever you listen to us. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and most podcasting apps. If you'd like to send us a question or a recommendation for a topic, always more than welcome. We've still not had any questions. I'll check my junk box, but I'm pretty sure we haven't had any. You can send it to us to... playwatchpitchcast@gmail.com. That's playwatchpitchcast@gmail.com. If you want to see any updates about our podcast on social media, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/playmovieswatchgames. Alternatively, you can find us on Twitter @playwatchpitch. If you want to just listen to the pitches and you don't mind having an app open in the background while you listen to it, you can find us on YouTube. Just give us a search and we will be putting just our pitches up on there. Right, Ben. I don't really know what to do for a hint next week. I've got an idea. Have you got any idea?
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't it? We're in quite uncharted waters with this hint.
Oh, I think that'll do it. See you next week.
Bye.